Have you ever felt like a ship tossed on a stormy sea, wondering if the waves of single motherhood are finally going to win? I know that feeling intimately. I'm J. Rosemarie Francis. I remember the debilitating cycle of fear and panic that made the walls feel like they were closing in. But I also know the peace that eventually replaces that panic. My new book, Courage to Believe, a 21-day devotional for single moms, is a lifeline designed to help you connect your personal story to the everlasting story of grace. It's time to move beyond the label and find your way forward. You can find Courage to Believe, 21-day devotional for single moms, on Amazon today. You were never meant to carry this alone. Today, I want to reintroduce myself and what I've been doing over the past 10 years that highlights and bring to bear what I'm doing right now. So my name is J. Rosemarie Francis. I'm a divorced mom of three adult sons. I have two granddaughters and a grandson. And today I want to reintroduce myself, as I said before, because I've been in this space a while as a podcaster, as a blogger. I write, I do videos, I have a YouTube channel, and I wanted to just refocus my efforts on providing support for the moms that are in a phase or in the phase of life that they need the most, you need the most support for. So I want to start by talking about my life story in simple terms. So I was raised by a single grandfather. I'm a product of a single mom who left me at 9 months old with my single grandfather, her dad. And my granddad died when I was 12 years old. So I was left without parents for a time. Eventually, I went to join my mom where she was living in another country. But essentially, I started out life basically alone. But that's not the real story, right? I want to focus in now on what set me on the path, what set me on this journey of supporting single moms, solo moms. So after my third divorce, I went through this metamorphosis, if you will, because I began to find myself thinking about the reasons I was in the place I was. And what it boiled down to is that I took responsibility for my failed marriages. And in that moment, at first, I questioned who I was. I questioned why nobody wanted me. I questioned why I wasn't good enough and what was wrong with me. And in that moment, a voice said to me, "There is nothing wrong with you." But I discovered that there were things that I needed to do, I needed to fix in myself before I could move forward. I didn't want to be bitter. I didn't want to be that woman who was always angry, especially at men. And so I developed my own technique that I learned from Tony Robbins about in seeking a mate, make a list of what you want in that mate. Make a list of the qualities you want in that mate. On one side, draw a column, and on one side, you make a list of what you are looking for in a mate. Not that I was looking, but I think it was the pivotal exercise for me at that point in time. And on the other side, make a list of the things that I was missing from that list. So if the person was kind and I wasn't a kind person, then I needed to write that down on that second column. That exercise was very eye-opening for me because I realized I wasn't even conscious in selecting my mates. I was unconscious in the people I married. And I could say I was unintentional, but when I look back, I was really unconscious. So this exercise led me to start reading the scriptures more, doing daily devotional. I read Joel Osteen's book, Your Best Life Now, was one of those pivotal texts that I read that really helped me to focus in on my responsibility in my life. Because I realized and I discovered through all that I had a lot of baggage that I hadn't really addressed. And most of it is because I hadn't even realized I had that baggage. I had these things at the back of my head that were sitting there. It's like they were part of my psyche, but they weren't acknowledged. You know, they weren't at the forefront. It wasn't until I did all this introspection that I realized all the hurt and the pain that I was trying to hide behind. And so I wanted family. I tried to turn rejection into my own story, building on those rejection, building on those, the abandonment, building on those fears of being left, which was not a foundation to build on at all. And so I sought out, you know, there's a phrase that says, hurt people, but I'd like to put my own phrase on that and said, the people who are hurt look for people who are hurting to pair up with. And that makes for a real stinky soup. For those of you who've ever been in this situation, you understand what I'm talking about. So I was fortunate that I wasn't one of those people who got out of a marriage and hated men or blamed men or, you know, lived in this constant state of always pointing the finger. I took the time to do this, point the finger at me, and got perspective. Because it wasn't a I'm to blame session. It was a what is it that you could do in the future to avoid getting yourself in these situations? And so that helped me to unfold my life's history and realize that there were things in my life that I needed to take care of if I wanted to have healthy relationships going forward. And it wasn't just relationships with a partner. It was relationships with all people who I come in contact with. Now, I want to move on from that stage of life because it developed in a sense that once I got past all that mental and emotional and spiritual stuff, garbage, that once I got through that, then real life was happening, right? And I found myself at a stage where I was really struggling financially. And I was scared out of my wits because I didn't want to be that woman who had her kids living on the street. And this is not no condemnation of anyone, but I didn't want that to happen to me. I'd lived in fear because of my life and my childhood. I've lived in fear of being homeless my whole life. And so this was a big thing for me. It was a big fear that I could not be homeless. And because of that, by the time my middle son was 15, we checked it. We had moved, no, by the time he was 14, we had moved 15 times. And I was moving to avoid being evicted. And I was at this stage where it was getting to a point where it just was too much. It was nauseous. It was making me nauseous. So what happened was that how I ended up with my two youngest son, parenting alone, divorced, was that I talk about it on my podcast and in my writings, that I came to home one day with those two young 2 and 4 year old, and my husband at the time had cleaned out our house, took everything, trashed everything that was left, and just disappeared. And truthfully, it's been 28 years and I haven't seen him. None of us have seen him. So it's one of those things that leaves you reeling, and it did leave me reeling. I can't tell you how much it devastated me, because it was the fact that I was abandoned again, but it was also the fact that I was left to raise children I didn't know how to raise, because I needed raising myself. I still needed raising because I have never really been parented. But something miraculous happened a few years later. And it was after this soul-searching moment after my third divorce. Being at my wit's end, being desperate, I decided that I needed to leave Atlanta. And so I was searching for ways. At first, I would have gone to Florida. I had family there. The accommodations were there. I'd been there to visit, to check it out. And so that was the plan. But one day, I was thinking about all this, and a friend of mine from my childhood reached out to me and suggested that I look for a job in New York. And it was the most horrible suggestion he could make, because I had no intention of going to New York. I had visited and it wasn't my cup of tea. But I was at that stage where I was desperate. I'm just going to say it. I was desperate. And so I had taken, while living in Toronto, I had gone to secretarial school. And I decided that maybe I should try to get a job as an admin, a secretary. So I went online and I applied to this agency, this temp agency that my friend suggested, and applied for a job. And I didn't just apply to that agency, I applied to a second one, just, you know, putting it out there, right? I didn't know at the time how I was going to get to New York, let alone, you know, move to New York. But anyway, about 15 minutes after sending my email, I got a phone call from that agency. You know, we got your resume and we'd like you to come in for an interview tomorrow. So this was, I believe, Wednesday. And I said, well, I can't come in tomorrow, but I could come in. No, sorry, this was Tuesday. I can't come in tomorrow, but I could come in on Thursday. Would that work? And she said, oh, yes, fine. We'll see you at 9 a.m. on Thursday morning. So I got off the phone and I kind of stopped and was thinking to myself, what in heaven's name did you do? And I went into my bedroom and kneeled down and prayed to God. I said, God, you see what I just did? I just agreed to go to New York for an interview. How am I going to get to New York? How is this supposed to happen? And after I finished praying, before I even got off my knee, my phone rang again. And I went to answer it. And it was this friend of mine who worked for the airline. And the only thing he said was, what's up? That was his way of greeting. And I hadn't called him. I hadn't texted him. I hadn't, you know, said anything. But I told him, you know, it was a good friend and, you know, somebody who was acquainted with my situation. And I told him what I was doing. And he just said, okay. here's a number. Call this guy. He owes me one. Tell him to give you a ticket. So I called the guy, told him when I was traveling, and he said, okay, ticket will be waiting for you at the counter. So I ended up going to New York for that interview and another interview. And nothing came of it. I stayed until the Friday with my cousin, and I was getting ready to leave because I had left my children, my youngest son, with my older son, who was, you know, had his own life. But he volunteered to look after my two youngest while I was off interviewing. So this Friday, it was time for me to go. And I said to my cousin, he's gone now, God rest his soul. I said to my cousin, I need to go back to my kids. And he's like, where are you running to? Why are you running home? Why don't you just hang out for a few days? Stay till Monday morning and see what, you know, if someone calls you. I wasn't too sure about it, but I decided to stay, to listen and stay till Monday. Monday afternoon, I got a call from the first agency that I went to. And they said, we got a 3-day job for you. It started the Wednesday. Would you like it? Would you take it? I said, sure, I'll take it. And not too long after that, I got another call. I got a call from the other agency saying, we have a 3-week job for you. Would you take it? I said, no, I can't take it because I just agreed to take a 3-day job and I don't really want to break my commitment because, you know, I'm that kind of person. She said to me, okay, I admire your commitment. And if that doesn't work out, give us a call back and we'll see what we can find for you. End of story. Wednesday morning, a total mess. I walked into this firm, to the 19th floor of this firm on Wall Street. And the person I was going to help out was also a divorced mom from the Caribbean as well. And we hit it off immediately. And I'm going to tell you that felt like serendipity. I worked the 3 days. No, I worked that day. And I worked the second day, which was Thursday. And the lady came to me and she said, we'd like to extend you for another 2 weeks. So, because we like all you work, and can you come back for 2 more weeks? It was then that I had to come clean because I live 900 miles away. I only came to have an interview. I didn't even come to work. And I explained to her as best I could. And she said, well, that's okay. Why don't you take tomorrow off and I'll see you on Monday morning? So here I am, 900 miles away from home, a single mom. My kids are left back home, going to school. It's May in Atlanta, so they're in school. And I am contemplating leaving them there and coming and staying in New York and working for 2 weeks. But then it occurred to me that maybe I shouldn't be leaving my kids there. So I called my aunt in New York, in New Jersey, and asked her and told her. Well, first of all, I didn't decide about the kids until later. So I told my aunt that about the job and all of that. She knew I was in New York. And I told her that, you know, I have something for a couple of weeks and could I stay with her when I come back? She said, oh, yeah, you could stay. And I needed a backup. So I asked my cousin the same thing. And he said, yeah, sure, you could stay. So I got on the plane on Friday and all this. These plane tickets I didn't pay for came through my friend's friend. And so it was all this stuff, one thing after the other, set in place, set in motion. While I was journeying back on the plane, I was thinking about my situation. And it occurred to me that, no, I could not leave my kids in Atlanta. This is something I had to do. Whole, like I had to move from Atlanta and I have to take my kids with me. So when I got to Atlanta Friday evening, I called my aunt and said, you know, I think maybe what I should do is to bring the boys. So I'm going to need, you know, to have them with me while I'm there with you. She said, no, that can't happen. She can't have kids in our house. Some other things too, but I am leaving it alone. I called my cousin. He said the same thing. So here I was, Friday evening, with a life-changing decision to make and no support. Like, nobody to take up one little thing that I needed taking up. And okay, it's a big ask to have somebody to, you know, to have someone open their home with your two children. I mean, I don't have family like that. So that's how it is. So anyway, I didn't hesitate. I called the friend who had referred me to the ticket guy. And I knew he had a truck. So I told him, if you know anybody who want furniture, I'm packing up everything. They can have what they want. I'll separate what I want to take with me in my car, my 2001 Toyota Camry, and they can have everything else. You all can do what you want with the rest. And Saturday all day, that's what happened in my house. I had a 3-bedroom basement apartment, quite nice, in a nice neighborhood. And the whole apartment was stripped clean by evening. But at that point, I realized I was driving out Sunday morning. And Saturday evening, I still had nowhere to go, nowhere to live. Now, if I was alone, I could figure it out, but I had these two little boys with me. Now, and also, the other thing was that I had to have the conversation with these two preteen boys in school, playing basketball, doing other things. And we've already moved school several times. And they were a little annoyed that they had to move to New York. They didn't like it like I didn't. But they said, you know, they were my biggest fans, my biggest support. I'm going to tell you, no matter what you're struggling with, listen, keep your mind open. And remember, those children, they are aware of everything that's going on, even when you try to block them. So remember that. So I was a real estate agent. I was also a licensed insurance agent. And I was a big networker. I checked my database and I found the number for a mortgage person. A person who I knew did mortgage from Queens. At the time, he was living in Florida. So I called him and I said, do you know anybody who have a room in Queens? I don't know why I said that. The room... three of us. I don't know. That's what I said. I said, do you know anyone with a room in New York? Because I am moving tomorrow and I need somewhere to stay. And he said, I have a room in Queens. And I said, how much? And he said, don't worry about that. Just get there. So now it's set. But I want to back up because there's some other things that I didn't fill in. I kind of glossed over certain things. Because this is a long story. So as I go, I'll retreat a bit sometimes to fill in the blanks because there are some blanks. The next morning, Sunday morning at 6:30, I drove out from Atlanta. Toyota Camry was packed full of what we could bring. And my two sons were in the back. Two youngest boys were in the back. I drove from that time and... at 3 a.m. the next Monday morning, we arrived at the location we were supposed to go to. No GPS, New York City at night. For anyone who've driven that city, you know what I'm talking about. Fortunately, the guy I rented from, he kept in touch to make sure that, you know, I got to the place. Because there's nobody else, right? And I often say that God always send the person you need just when you need them to fulfill whatever need you have at that time. And so this was this guy who guided me to this apartment in Queens. Now, I'm not going to discuss the condition of the apartment because I detail that a lot in the book that I'm writing about. My story, about this story especially. So what brought me to talking about all of this and creating this video is one, to reintroduce myself and to let you see what the journey has been for me, at least part of my journey, and what brought me to this point. So in my writing, I talk about this journey, talk about it on my podcast, but the whole realization of that journey came to be when one morning when I was in church, I was singing and, you know, worshiping, and the soloist on the choir was singing, "I Still Believe." And a feeling overwhelmed me. And because even at that moment in time, I was still struggling. I was struggling with bullying at work. I was struggling with still trying to maintain a roof over our head. And I had a lot of burden at the time, living in New York City with two Black boys. And I was still struggling. But that moment, that song, "I Still Believe," resonated with me. And after worship, I sat down. God forgive me, I was in church. But it just flowed. This story just flowed. It flowed. It flowed. And I wrote it. I was writing. It helped me actualize some feelings and some emotions that I was going through. And the biggest one was fear. And I used that fear, I used that word as the stepping board to a devotional I wrote called Courage to Believe, 21-day devotional for single moms. And what it is, it's a rundown of the emotions we experience as single moms, especially when we're fresh after breakup. The courage part is the act of actually stepping out, even when you are afraid, because that's what I did. Moving from Atlanta, driving from Atlanta, there was a lot of fear. You know, I have had a condition with high blood pressure. And I mean, it is so heart-wrenching, even thinking about it and thinking that I can't believe that I went through all of that and I'm still here. So this is what this is all about. Me bringing into focus this time of my life, that while writing this devotional, I'm realizing that I'm not the only one going through it. And the fact that I have to take responsibility for what I write. I can't just write words on a page. They have to mean something. They have to not just express my own emotions and or overcame them if I did, but they also have to be a balm to the reader, you, the single mom who will read it. The fact that it's a Christian text is important because there are many of us who claim Christianity, but we are so far removed from its blessings. We're so far removed from grace that it's an abstract thought to be a Christian. But I use this devotional to connect our story to the everlasting story of grace. And I pray that if you decide to read it, that it will bring that solace to you, that light, it will shine in your darkness and help you to realize that you're not alone, that whatever you're going through, you're not alone, but also that there is grace for every need, and also that Lord Jesus Christ understands, is familiar with your grief. He experienced abandonment and abuse. This is what I want to bring out in this devotional. I ask the Lord when I'm each day when I write something, I ask the Lord, please shine your light through these words so readers' life can be illuminated, so they can find their way over and through whatever it is they're experiencing. And so I wanted to go through my background, in essence, and just talk about a few of the things that has put me in a position to put these words on paper and to create this devotional that I pray will help single moms, divorced mom, widowed mom, our mom still married but lonely, raising children solo. Again, I'm J. Rosemary Francis. Thank you.